Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday. What is it? January 31st already, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Happy full moon. Super full moon. Glad
Blue
to be
moon.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And of course, Michael Kelly here as well.
Hello, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics, including coaching, counseling, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and others. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. As is customary, I want to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. The first one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded form of these 9 principles of belief, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, we had to reschedule tonight's guest because of technical problems last week. We were trying to do it. We had issues with the Skype gods were angry at us, so we made some sacrifices, and so now they've been appeased. So everything seems to be working. So we apologize. We had to cancel last night on the last minute there, but we're going to do it again. So tonight we have a special guest with us, Reverend Rod Kelly from Connecticut, and he is going to talk about self-healing. I'll give you a little background. Reverend Rod Kelly is a board-certified consulting hypnotist, author of 4 books, and founder of Eye of the Eagle Wellness Center. For over 2 decades, he's been working with clients to resolve their personal issues quickly, easily, and permanently. He's also been educating many people in the ancient ancient technique, allowing clients to dramatically escalate their own self-healing abilities. Reverend Rod Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful being a guest.
Now, I guess I need to clear up one thing. You know, we share a similar last name, but there is no relation. I mean, come on, people. How could there be relation when Rod spells his last name wrong?
Well, you see, my side of the family was the smart side.
Good answer. I like that.
That's funny.
Got some spunk, you know. And just an FYI, you know, our last name is spelled K-E-L-L-E-Y, and so many people misspell my last name, I've seriously considered changing it. But not really. But I thought about it, but not really. All right, so Reverend Rod, tell us about your story. You have a bit of an interesting story about how this all came about.
You see, I went through a period of 7 years where I had a very serious blood clotting disorder. And I've been hospitalized well over 30 times. And one of those occasions, I had a I was being treated for a blood clot, and out of a clear blue sky, another clot formed and hit my lungs. And for the next 27 minutes, I wasn't I was down looking at my body and at the medical personnel going frantic around me. But when the session, or with the 27 minutes was over, I discovered that I really took on this totally different persona than I'd ever been. And one of the things that really became evident is I was able to connect with my own higher self. And the lessons that it taught me in that short period of time were absolutely amazing. But I think the biggest impact that it had on me is that I was no longer looking for the complexities in life. I really became locked into looking for simplicities.
Well, that's smart.
One of the biggest simplicity was looking for a simple way to heal me, because I had lots of medical problems. I had suffered a massive stroke, a whole host of other things. And what it really did is, if you're going to look for simplicity and healing through disease and stuff, you've got to look at the most simple form of that disease, and it very simply is energy. Well, looking at a full spectrum of disease and illness, the one commonality that all of the all of them have is they all have a high level of negative energy. And make a long story short, I got deeply involved in the physics of healing. And healing really is just a natural phenomenon that once you understand the rules of it, really get quite simple. And some of the rules that really I think are extremely important is, number one rule in physics that applies to healing is positive energy consumes negative energy. And we, as a society, we're kind of immersed in this negative frame of mind, and everything we look at, we can see negativity in it. And that negativity really is what precipitates the disease to begin with. But also, your thoughts have a tremendous impact on either feeding or starving the condition. And one of the major points that I was able to learn is I learned this simple posture and visualization technique that within 3 minutes, I was able to really feel a difference in the energy about my body. And it wasn't until several years later that I discovered what I was actually doing through this 3 minute exercise was I was totally healing my aura. Mm-hmm. And through Kirlian photography, I was able to prove scientifically that it not only healed the aura, but it healed the entire chakra system. All seven chakras just became super open. Mm-hmm. And what that did is that allows all the energy systems in the body to flow unobstructed. And that's basically where the healing began.
And how long ago did this all occur? You probably mentioned it.
Well, basically, I've been working at this for 21 years. And so that when the event took place, that was in October 17th in 98. And since then, I've been really just accepting my own spirituality. But one of the things that when I'm working with clients, the first thing I really do with them is I'm a board certified hypnotist. And through a hypnotic induction that I came up with, I was able to connect people with their own higher self in a very short period of time.
Cool.
And the reason I wanted to do that is the higher self resides in the subconscious mind, where all your memories are stored. But some of the unique things about the subconscious mind is that, first of all, it can't forget anything. Everything you ever did, everything that ever occurred to you, those memories are locked in cells. It's called cellular memory. But the other aspect that really is kind of important is that in the subconscious mind, time has no relevance. Mm-hmm. Time only exists in the conscious mind because that's the area of the brain that wants to put things in chronological order that it can make sense of. In the subconscious mind, there isn't any time. But where the difference between working with the subconscious mind and working with the higher self is they have those two commonalities. But the big difference is the subconscious or the higher self is it's a spirit. And in the spirit realm, there's only truth. So when I'm able to connect a person to their higher self, and I ask a very important question like, what's the meaning or the purpose behind their condition? I'm able to get the truth, the absolute truth.
Good question.
And it simplifies coming down to finding out what created the condition to begin with.
Yeah, that's a great approach. You know, it kind of reminds me of parts therapy a little bit in hypnosis, where you ask one part of the mind, you know, about another part or the individual, quote unquote, that's causing the issues, what their motivation is and so forth. That's a great approach.
See, the difference with working that with the technique that I'm using as compared to what the standard is for hypnosis is the subconscious mind is the home of all your memories. And all your memories don't mean that it was truthful memories. It was only your perceptions of the events that were not. And when I ask the higher self, what's the purpose or the meaning behind it or reason behind it, I'm not going to get feedback from partial memories. I'm going to get the absolute truth on what it is. Mm-hmm. And during the hypnosis process, the client is totally aware of everything that's being said, and they're remembering everything that's being said.
Right.
So when the higher self tells them, this is what the purpose is behind your condition, and getting into a little bit deeper as far as purpose is concerned, Galileo back in the 16th century made a statement that everything that ever existed or will exist had to have a purpose for existing, or simply it couldn't exist without a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything that ever existed had a purpose, it would make sense that so would that disease or illness. It had to have a purpose.
I hope other than entropy.
With the higher self. Pardon me?
I hope other than entropy, a purpose other than entropy.
Absolutely. You see, one of the things that I discovered is most of the time the purposes that people have conditions is they all started off as a negative emotion somewhere back in their lives. Typically, 80% of issues were created prior to the age of 4. That's the formative years. But the seemingly negative events that come into your life, including disease and illness, come to you for some very important reasons. First of all, this karma. You either did something or didn't do something that comes back and bites you.
Yeah.
But the other reason, the major reason, is that these events come to us in forms of lessons, because there's something about the human mind that we learn strictly from negative lessons. We don't learn from positive events. Positive events are our rewards. Whereas the seemingly negative events, that's our lessons to it. And once we start understanding that these things that come to your life that really seem to be extremely painful, they're just trying to teach you something. And when you understand what it is that this event is creating for you, you basically, once you understand what the purpose is, just like Galileo's statement, without a purpose, nothing can exist. So once the purpose is served, that's never going to be repeated.
You know, that reminds me. I just wanted to interject this because it reminds me of a little passage in James Allen book, As a Man Thinketh, when he talks about once you learn the spiritual lesson contained in any event, adversity or whatever, it passes and you move on and you have other learning opportunities. It's a similar thing. Very interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, this really, I think, you see, I work a lot with people with cancer. And one of the anomalies that occur is if someone has a bout of cancer, and for one reason or another, whether it's through chemo or whatever, they go through remission within a relatively short period of time, 2 to 3 years typically, cancer will come back in a different area of the body, and it's a whole lot more aggressive than it was the last time. And if they're able to overcome it a second time, then it's going to come back a third time. And I've seen many clients that started out with something like, say, breast cancer. And they got to the root of it, and they said, well, you're in remission. Well, next thing you know, they end up with bone cancer. And if they're able to get past that, it typically hits the brain cancer. In my personal belief is that that's because they haven't learned the lesson that cancer presented to them to begin with. And each time the event comes up, it's going to get more and more severe, because what spirits are really just saying is, hey, wake up, pay attention, you're not listening to this. And it keeps on getting more and more severe. And I've actually worked with one client that had lung cancer. And we worked with teaching him the 3-minute exercise to help negate the negative effects from chemo and start working on the cancer. But we were actually able to eradicate the cancer completely in a matter of 2 days. Just by discovering what the purpose was, and then working with the condition of the negative cells of the cancer.
Yeah, that when you touch that area, you know, spiritually, it depletes the energy of it. It moves on.
Exactly. You see, the way I view all disease and illness is it's strictly negative energy. And because it's negative energy, it has specific characteristics, it has specific propensities, but they all have one single vulnerability, and that's light. And there's a law in physics, like I'd mentioned earlier, that positive energy consumes negative energy. Well, when I started learning these things, I racked my brain trying to figure out why can't negative energy consume positive energy. And you look around, you see all the negativity in the world, and you think, well, that's what's going on. But when you get deeper into the physics of it, you realize that positive energy is also light. And light is information. To be enlightened is to learn. And once the lesson is learned, it can never be repeated, because our mind cannot forget anything. And once that knowledge is gained, it can't be taken away. That's why negative energy can never consume positive energy.
Good. Good points.
And an awful lot of what I do when I'm working with cancer patients is I'm offering them a counseling service where I can kind of direct them to understanding what cancer is from the physics perspective, from the energy perspective on it. And I teach them how their thoughts are either going to feed the cancer or they're going to heal it. Now, because it's negative energy, it needs to have a continual flow of negative energy in order to not only expand but to exist. So when they first start talking with me and I tell them my goal is to teach you how to learn to love your cancer. At first, they're just totally baffled. Well, why would I love cancer? Well, Because when you learn the lesson that it's presented to you, you've gained a knowledge that you couldn't have gained any other possible way. And I think the first client that I worked with that had cancer was my father-in-law. And he had prostate cancer. And within 3 months, the cancer was gone.
Cool.
And a little background about my father-in-law. He was the most worrisome person I'd ever met in my entire life. He worried about the most bizarre things I'd ever even comprehended were possible to worry about. But after he went past the cancer and he was actually given a clean bill of health, I told him, I said, now, you just beat the number one fear in the entire world. The number one fear in the entire world is cancer. And you just beat it. Why would you ever worry about anything again?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, right, I think you're right. He still had concerns. And the difference between a concern and worry is that a concern means you are aware of an issue or problem, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to help resolve that. Where worry has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. It's strictly 100% a negative energy. And it feeds the condition that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of our listeners made a comment in the chat room, Dr. Tabby. She says she truly believes disease is coming from dis-ease, which is essentially what you're saying. She says, I believe my godmother died from cancer because she was so repressed in life, trying to live her life for others but not herself. That fits right in with what you're talking about.
Yeah, and the bottom line is that all conditions begin with a single negative emotion. But because it's a negative energy, it needs to have a continual flow of light energy.
So how do people do that?
Well, the biggest thing is, especially with a serious disease, is the minute you hear it, you're riddled with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is the absolute epitome of negative energy. And it feeds into it. And all the negative thoughts you have about that disease, all you're doing is you're just feeding it energy. You're giving it its sustenance that it needs in order to survive, but also to grow. So by learning what the physics behind the condition is, we fear whatever we don't understand.
Right.
So my whole goal is to educate the people I'm working with exactly what you're dealing with.
Good.
What's the hot spots? What is going to make it retract? And, yeah, I mean, there is no be-all, end-all remedy for anything. There's always going to be variables. And can I heal everybody? No. But what I can do is I can help the only person in the world that has the right to heal that condition is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody else's business because this is their personal life's journey. So what I do is I provide them with the knowledge that they need in order to not only get a grip on themselves, but the biggest thing is not only getting rid of the cancer to begin with, but it's to prevent its reoccurrence. And the only way you can prevent its reoccurrence is you have to change your mode of thinking.
Right.
Because that disease was a creation of your own thoughts. And if you don't change the way you're thinking and the way you approach your life beyond that point, then you're just asking for it to come back, and when it comes back, it's going to be a whole lot more severe than the first time.
You know, we've talked about similar things, too, in the past, and we teach this at our school about energy signatures, about taking your power back. That's the cure-all for about anything that ails. You take your power back, changing your thinking, changing your belief system about yourself, changing your energy signature, making it more healthy, or healthier, I should say. And we've talked about that a lot, and that's essentially what you're talking about, too. And I also want to add here that if anybody in the chat room has any questions, please put them in the chat room right now. I'd also like to mention that obviously we don't have enough time to go in too much in depth, but if you'd like more information, you can visit Reverend Rod's website at eyeoftheeagle.org. I'm going to put that in the chat room as well. And he has his latest book there, Connecting the Earth, Sky, and You, Self-Healing with Confidence. So that, I'm sure, goes into it more as well. Is there anything people can do aside from that? Anything else you want to mention? I don't know. And then Dr. Hunter may have questions or not, but go ahead and address that one.
Okay. What you can do to begin the healing process is understand that the only person that has the right or ability to heal you is you.
Mm-hmm.
This is your life's journey, and when I work with a client, the first thing I do is I get them to connect, get a strong connection with their own higher self. Your higher self knows every single thing there ever was to know about you. Every sight, every sound, every smell, every emotion, every experience you ever had. But it knows these things without judgment. It just knows the facts of them. And because it knows you so intimately well, it knows what created the issue, but it also knows the resolution. We often have issues coming up in our lives that we know the answers to. If our friend had the same exact situation, you know exactly what you tell them. But then the hard part comes. Then you have to take your own advice.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it's not just issues that you have about you that create the diseases. I've worked with a number of people that have actually absorbed other people's problems that created the conditions that they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lady that was had MS, and came right down to it. The problem that created the MS wasn't hers. It was an issue that her mother had that she got so involved in, she just absorbed it, and that became her own issue. When issues exist, you have to really discern who owns the issue.
Good point.
If it's your issue, you darn well better deal with it. But if it's not your issue, do not spend a great deal of time trying to resolve other people's issues, because when you do, you're starving them of the learning experience they're going to need later in life.
Yep. Well put. We've talked about that, too. It's one of the things I teach. You can't control people. Stop trying. Don't change them. Don't try to control them. They have the right to learn their own lessons. We all have the right to walk our own path. Dr. Hunter, any questions for Reverend Rod?
No, I'm just listening. It's a good conversation.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, Reverend Rod, we're going to wrap up things quickly here. Anything else you'd like to add before we move on to other things?
If you can't remember the eyeoftheeagle.org, you can also get to the same exact place by just going to www.rodkelly.net, RODKELLY.net.
Cool. Very good. Well, you've obviously made some great points and stuff that really goes right along with what we talk about many times on this program. And, you know, it sounds like you've been there, done that, and helped a lot of people. And I, I commend you for that, and I wish you all the best of success in helping others too. So I appreciate you coming on the program. It's been very nice to have you.
Thank you. It's been wonderful being your guest.
Great. And so we'll and you know, maybe we'll have you on again in the future if you got some stuff you'd like to come on and talk about.
I'd look forward to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be great. So, all right. Well, if you'll hang tough, we'll move on and to our usual feature, which is our inner oracle discovery cards. So if you'd like a card pulled, put your name in the chat room. Our inner oracle cards, for those who are not familiar with them, are basically a deck of 54 cards and several suits that we basically have the things that we teach in not only in the church but also in our schools, and they have lots of practical life skills, and they're designed to help get you thinking. That's what they're designed for. They're not magical. They're self-discovery cards. So we have got a couple. Dr. Phyllis would like a card. So Dr. Hunter, I'll let you start off if you want.
Nice to see you in the chat room, Dr. Phyllis. You haven't been with us for a while. Nice to see you. Number 30, greatness to deliver, is your message tonight. So here it is. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what's common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to awaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. Now, we know you make a difference, Dr. Phyllis. This is maybe just a, you know, check in with yourself kind of message and reminding yourself you got some greatness to deliver. It's awesome. Great card. Michael, maybe you'd like to draw a card for Fran.
I would
next.
Absolutely love to draw a card for Fran. And I'm almost positive I've drawn this free before, Fran, but it's wild card number 7, Hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope. Do not encourage codependent hope.
Good. So hope.
Good card. Hope. Love that card. Dr. Tabitha is next, and I just selected number 7, self-mastery, for you, Tabitha. So to know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. That's a little mystery in there, I feel, Tabitha. So just also a little reminder of all those ingredients that you're, you know, be yourself, be you. Okay, I think we have Jeff. Jeff is next there. Michael, maybe you'd like to pull one for Jeff.
Yes, I've actually pulled number 30, greatness to deliver. That's a powerful.
See, we just pulled that one for
Dr. Phyllis, yeah.
Yeah. So pull. I mean, that one's already recorded. So let's pull another one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, take the message, Jeff. But
here's an go for it again. Pick another one for Jeff.
Going from the middle of the deck. Number 11, awareness.
Good one.
Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed, Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
You know, it's...
That really applies to Jeff. I just have to inject this. That's a great card for you, Jeff, and your growing awareness and all the things that you're doing these days. So I say it's just that affirmation. It's awesome.
And I also want to go back to the original card that was pulled, Greatness to Deliver. And I want to make this comment that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your gifts are. It doesn't matter what your limitations are. Every one of us can deliver greatness to the world in our own unique way. And so let's tie that back in with another card that was pulled, Friend Hope. You know, we have to look at our own unique set of gifts and determine how we can apply those to deliver greatness to the world. And delivering greatness to the world is not necessarily some grandiose, you know, one-time thing that we do to, you know, save the world type of thing. Yeah, that's certainly delivering greatness. But the way that we can deliver greatness every day is, you know, smile people, to be upbeat. You know, Reverend Rod Kelly talked about negative energy and replacing it with positive energy, with light. And that's another way, just being upbeat, having that positive consciousness and being part of the solution rather than the problem. And the way that we talk to people, whether we greet people in a cheerful way in the morning and perhaps at work or wherever, what we do to help lighten the load for those around us when we see an opportunity, that's paying it forward. Those are all things that we can do to deliver greatness. So it doesn't matter who we are, what our gifts are, what our limitations are, we can still deliver greatness to the world. We are still a worthwhile person, a person of worth. Doesn't matter who we are. And so we go about our day, we do no harm, and we do right. Because doing no harm is not enough. We also have to do right. So it's really an excellent card. And an excellent concept for everybody, and it's a reminder for all of us. So, good points. All right, anything else we want to cover before we wrap things up for tonight?
I believe Dr. Shirley also would like a card, Dr. Hunter.
Dr. Shirley, nice to see you here. I'm really glad to see in the last couple of weeks more people joining us in the chat room. It's really good to have your participation and your energy. Dr. Shirley, you get number 15, belief system and knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or the direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. You know, I think we're all doing that all the time. more information, and I kind of look at the brain as like a hardware, and sometimes it needs, and the software needs reconfiguring and, you know, decompressing and throw out the garbage. And sometimes I've even had to install a whole new hard drive, to be honest, especially when learning computers and technologies. Oh, man, I didn't have the pathways for that stuff. But I think that we're always doing that, and this is just a little reminder for you, Dr. Shirley, about, you know, just sit back sometimes and ask how it all computes and go way deep within and make sure things make sense to you and, you know, go from there. So just a little... A little tap on the shoulder, I think, with that one.
Great. Do we get everybody then?
I think so.
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I might suggest to people, being this, I don't know about, you know, these super moons being two full moons in a month. I think that those are just calendar kind of
blue moon.
Thing. The blue moon, sorry. But the super moon is pretty close. Mm-hmm. In my view, I see at this time of year, especially with the full moon, kind of the beginning of a new energy and a new year. So I've been, for myself, I've been writing out January saying, there's an energy shift coming. So I would just suggest to everybody today, especially, to just take a few minutes to yourself and visualize what you would like to have happen throughout the following year. What would you like to achieve? What would you like to obtain? And, you know, just kind of set your goals, because to me, this is the energy shift. And Dr. Tabby's saying she totally felt that. This particular moon is really questioning us about what we believe and what's real in our realities. And I totally feel that shift in all of the world right now. So dig deep. You know, put out that positive energy like we've been talking about, and set your energy in motion for what you want to achieve this year. I really do think that today, this particular energy is that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Create our life.
Very good. All right. Well, we've talked about a lot of good stuff tonight on this program, as we usually do. Good reminders, things we may be aware of, but we just need to be reminded. That's just human beings for you. We need to see it on the table now and then. So hopefully you've gotten some good points and some good reminders. And we appreciate everybody tuning in to the live program, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you taking your time to be with us. Thank you for those in the chat room as well. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, as always, for being here, and Michael Kelly as well. And we also thank Reverend Rod Kelly for being with us tonight. Some great points and some good stuff he's doing, and we wish him the best. So until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.